Luckily, his watch was a wind-up one, or at least a self-winder. Nowhere else in the galaxy would he have found batteries of precisely the dimensions and power specifications that were perfectly standard on Earth. "So what are all these numbers?" asked Random. Arthur took it from her. "These numbers around the edge mark the hours. In the little window on the right it says THU, which means Thursday, and the number is 14, which means it's the 14th day of the month of May, which is what it says in this window over here. And this sort of crescent-shaped window at the top tells you about the phases of the moon. In other words, it tells you how much of the moon is lit up at night by the sun, which depends on the relative positions of the sun and the moon and, well, the Earth." "The Earth," said Random. "Yes. And that's where you came from and where Mum came from." "Yes," said Arthur. Random took the watch back from him and looked at it again, clearly baffled by something. Then she held it up to her ear and listened in puzzlement. "What's that noise?" "It's ticking," said Arthur. "That's the mechanism that drives the watch. It's called clockwork. It's all kind of interlocking cogs and springs that work to turn the hands round at exactly the right speed to mark the hours, minutes and days and so on." Random carried on peering at it. "There's something puzzling you," said Arthur. "What is it?" "Yes," said Random at last. "Why is it all in hardware?" Arthur suggested they went for a walk. He felt there were things they should discuss, and for once Random seemed, if not precisely amenable and willing, then at least not growling. From Random's point of view, this is also all very weird. It wasn't that she wanted to be difficult as such. It was just that she didn't know how or what else to be. Who was this guy? What was this life she was supposed to lead? What was this world she was supposed to lead it in? And what was this universe that kept coming at her through her eyes and ears? What was it for? What did it want? She'd been born in a spaceship that had been going from somewhere to somewhere else. And when it had got to somewhere else had turned out to be only another somewhere that you had to go to somewhere else again from, and so on. It was her normal expectation that she was supposed to be somewhere else. It was normal for her to feel that she was in the wrong place. Then constant time travel had only compounded this problem, and had led to the feeling that she was not only always in the wrong place, but she was also almost always there at the wrong time. She didn't notice that she felt this, because it was the only way she ever felt, just as it never seemed odd to her that nearly everywhere she went she needed to wear either weights or anti-gravity suits, and usually special apparatus for breathing as well. The only places you could ever feel right were the worlds you designed for yourself to inhabit, virtual realities in the electric clubs. It had never occurred to her that the real universe was something you could actually fit into. And that included this Lamuella place her mother had dumped her in. And it also included this person who had bestowed on her this precious and magical gift of life in return for a seat upgrade. It was just as well he turned out to be rather kind and friendly, or there would have been trouble, really. She'd got a specially sharpened stone in her pocket she could cause a lot of trouble with. It can be very dangerous to see things from somebody else's point of view without the proper training. They sat on the spot that Arthur particularly liked, on the side of a hill overlooking the valley. The sun was going down over the village. The only thing that Arthur wasn't quite so fond of was being able to see a little way into the next valley, where a deep, dark, mangled furrow in the forest marked the spot where his ship had crashed. But maybe that was what kept bringing him back here. There were plenty of spots from which he could survey the lush, rolling countryside of Lamuella, but this was the one he was drawn to, with its nagging, dark spot of fear and pain nestling just on the edge of his vision. He had never been there again since he had been pulled out of the wreckage. Wouldn't, couldn't bear it. Well, in fact, he had gone some of the way back to it the very next day, while he was still numb and spinning with shock. He had a broken leg, a couple of broken ribs, some bad burns, and was not really thinking coherently, but had insisted that the villagers take him, which uneasily they had. He had not managed to get right to the actual spot where the ground had bubbled and melted, however, and had at last hobbled away from the horror for ever. Soon, word had got around that the whole area was haunted, and no one had ventured back there ever since. The land was full of beautiful, verdant and delightful valleys, no point in going to a highly worrying one. Let the past hold on to itself, and let the present move forward into the future.